Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Loftus Party Podcast. Another big week. And another big, every time I intro the show, I remind myself, I've got to pick out new theme music. That theme music was great. It served its purpose. I have a file of music. I have looked at the email. I just have to click it and I have to select new music, copyright free music. So anyway, we got a great show for you today. We got a lot of stuff going on. My buddy Pete Corielli is going to be on the show. Pete Corielli, incredibly funny stand up. You've seen him on Comedy Central a bunch. He and I were on this comedy tour a few years ago. Jameson's Irish Whiskey had this comedy tour. It was me and Pete Corielli and Billy Gardell, who later went on to do Mike and Molly, Steve Byrne, who went on. He had a show for a while on TBS where he ran a bar in Pittsburgh. So anyway, Pete and I write together on the TV show Kevin Can Wait. He's a super funny dude. And so he and I are always – it's nice to have someone usually I'm the lonely guy in the writer's room because I'm like the only guy who's like I'm writing, sitcoms, but then I'm ducking out and doing stand up. And so it's nice to have Pete around. He's a super funny dude from New York. So he and I are always, comparing notes and this is funny, that's funny. And he'll say something. I'm like, oh, dude, you got to do that on stage. I'll say something. And he's like, Mikey, you got to do that on stage. I don't know why he sounded like Gilbert Gottfried. But I got a great interview with him. He's got an incredibly successful podcast as well, Pete and Sebastian. So we'll talk about all of that in a few minutes. I want to get into some political stuff, some silly political stuff. I look at my notebook, the things that I want to talk about. Trump turned down the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He said no to that. He's not going to go do that. And I applaud him. I wouldn't want to do it. It's like those Comedy Central roasts, you know? Like you go to the you let Comedy Central roast you because you're trying to sell a book or you're trying to get somebody interested in your movie or your project, and it's just horrible and it's mean-spirited and I don't know. Maybe the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Maybe they do raise money for charity. However, you guys can still have your dinner, and you can just the president won't be there, and you can be like, somebody will go up and they'll talk about how awesome the New York Times is, and how the Washington Post is incredibly brave, and how Fox News is the devil. You guys can still have your dinner. You just won't have old Donald Trump to kick around. You won't have him to kick around. And these are the things that interest me. I'm not going to get into the Syria thing. I will tell you my theory, though, and maybe this is a tinfoil hat theory. I really question, and maybe I'm a knucklehead. So last night, I guess Assad did some chemical weapons attack on his own people again. I really don't know if that's Assad. And everybody's like, now get him, come on, Donald Trump, get him. And they're showing these old tweets from when Trump would criticize President Obama for not doing something in Syria. And it just seems a little too – convenient because you got Trump on TV and he's like, we're getting out of – this is my Donald Trump voice. He's like, we're getting out of Syria. We're going to leave. Let somebody else figure it out. So if you're Assad and – the guy who bombed your airfield a few months ago. Don't forget Donald Trump already did. The last time supposedly Assad did the chemical weapons thing, Trump immediately was like, launch the missiles and like wiped out his airfield. So when that guy who smacked you around is like, you know what? I'm going to leave. I'm going to get out of here. You're on your own. The timing of it is so suspect to me. Why? If I do a chemical attack, this guy's going to bomb me, and then that guy's about to leave, why in the hell would you do it again? It makes a lot of sense for ISIS to do it. If Assad is launching airstrikes against ISIS and bad guys, then you're like, hey, dudes, we do a chemical weapons attack. It looks like Assad did it, and then Trump will come in, wipe out his air force, and then we're good to go. So – I'm going to be really, really slow to jump on that bandwagon of like, go get Assad. It's just it's a little, little too convenient. I've read too many mystery novels, I guess. So the other thing that, and this is going to be herky-jerky here for a little bit. The other thing that has me worried, sometimes I feel like I'm the canary in the coal mine, or maybe I'm one of the people that watches out for this kind of stuff. Diamond and Silk. I'll talk about this with Pete Coriale a little bit too later on. Diamond and Silk were just banned from Facebook. Now, this is worrisome, man. This is truly worrisome. There are these sassy black chicks. You've seen them on TV. You've seen them on Fox News. But they've been around for a long time. They've been around since like 2014. They just didn't arrive on the scene. Their popularity has grown. They're not calling for violence. It's not hate speech. It's fun. They got these, you know, these cups, and it's all there. It's, you know, that whole, oh, Donald Trump needs to do this. And then the one girl will drink out of her little cup and like, mm-hmm, that's right. It's just fun and funny and light. And they got banned from Facebook. I don't know how many people liked their page or followed their page. I'm sure it was a lot because they get a lot of press. And Facebook's just like, no, we don't want you on here. And I guess they've gone back and forth with Facebook. And Facebook said, Diamond and Silk on Twitter, they posted the email from Facebook. We're like, this, you can't argue this. This is forever. Don't even try. You're done. You're done. And I seriously think that they got kicked off of Facebook because they were popular. Now they're still on Twitter. So that's good. However, and this is a common theme of the show. I guess I like to talk about it. I don't like to talk about it, but it legitimately scares me. Because if Diamond and Silk, now they're on Twitter, like I said, but they're gone off of Facebook. There is no competition for Facebook. I guess MySpace is still kind of around, like nobody's there. Which reminds me, I gotta fire up my MySpace. I gotta get that going. If you don't exist on Facebook, and then Twitter kicks you off, I guess you've got Instagram. You could still be on, but it's like you don't. If you don't exist in cyberspace, I don't think you exist anymore. And when they're kicking people off, normally there's some kind of rationalization. Normally you'd be like, well, I guess that guy shouldn't have said this. I can kind of see why they kicked blah, blah, blah off because he did say this, like Milo Yiannopoulos. Eh, he was kind of pushing it. And then now they're kicking people off just because they are popular. And that, my friends, is terrifying. And I'm glad Facebook's in trouble. I find that hilarious. Like, the Cambridge Analytica thing. They're like, Trump, here's the thing. Trump used Russia and Cambridge Analytica. Da, 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 da. And then you find out, oh, okay, well, when Obama was doing data mining, he was a genius. And then when the Republicans do data mining, it's evil. So now Facebook, we find out, is sharing everybody's data, and they know about phone calls and all this stuff. So now it'll be fun to see what happens. Zuckerberg's going to testify in front of Congress. I want to see what questions those guys ask. And then here's the other thing. This is great. This is just me venting. This is an awesome podcast because this is me venting. Stop with the whole – these people, these know-it-all people who are like, well, hey, if you're on a website and you're not paying, then you are the product. If you're on a website, you're not paying for a product. You are the product. And they say this like it's the sky is blue and water's wet. That really, like, the internet, here's how old I am. I remember when the internet was free and that was the cool thing. Like, you could go, oh, I can go to this website and read this article. I can go and read this. Now, granted, and this is before ads. I remember when pop-up ads were a thing. But like, it's the internet started as free. When you're like my age, my generation, yeah, everything was free. And then it was weird when you had to pay. Like, the only thing you were paying for was, like, if you joined some weird online club or you wanted to watch porn, which gets me back to the pop-up ads. I'm so glad. I want to thank the dude who invented the pop-up blocker. That was always the worst. When you're online looking at something that you shouldn't be, well, something that interested you, and then a pop-up ad would come up, and it would be like in kind of what you're watching pornography wise, but then like 10 times as dirty, and then another one would pop up and another one would pop up, and finally you're looking at like a rhino and an orangutan doing some weirdness, and you can't close the window, and your girl comes in, she's like, what are you watching? And you're like, I don't even know anymore. It got so dirty so fast. So we're out of pop-up ads. I know that Facebook was keeping track of some things. I didn't realize the extent of it. I didn't realize that if you wanted to completely try to opt out as much as you could, you had to go through like 20 different windows on Facebook to get out of it as much as you could. And then even then they were still getting stuff. And then when you find this out and you're kind of shocked by it, you're like, wow, that's a kind of a shocking invasion of privacy. Then to have some douchey know-it-all. Well, you know, if you're on a website and you're not paying for a product, you are the product. I just want to hit you upside the head. How does that help, you jerk? Okay, more political stuff. And this is just stuff that interests me. This is just me. This is my sensibility. Donald Trump a couple weeks ago, he's like, we're going to have a space force, and everybody ridicules him for that. You know what? I think we need a space force. I'm all for it. Like, I want to go to outer space. We should be on the moon. If Star Wars taught us nothing, it's whoever has the high ground wins. That's what Obi-Wan famously said. Don't do it, Anakin. I have the high ground. And that should be the motto of the Space Force. We should have a Space Force on the moon, and their insignia could be Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then their motto could be, I have the high ground. And then Anakin could be like, you underestimate my power. My kids do that impression. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Okay, the other thing I want to talk about, we got the LoftusParty.com, brand new website. We got a big comment section. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to – under the podcasts and all that stuff, we're going to open up the comments section. Things are going crazy, and I'm going to try to consolidate everything. Like the YouTube channel – a lot more subscribers. People are leaving comments there. Still do that, but I got to find a way to consolidate stuff. And it just occurred to me, so I'm saying out loud, I don't even know if we can do a comment section under podcast, but I am all for it. Holy smoke. Did you guys see me on Fox and Friends? Did you see me? I was thinking about holding this off for the entertainment section, but I don't know. I was on Fox and Friends. I'll give you the behind the scenes on that one too. They gave me like four different tweets they wanted me to chime in on. They're like, we're going to give you four different tweets. We want you to chime in on these, so be prepared. It'll probably only end up being two. And I was ready to let it rip. I'm tired of having to sugarcoat everything. And so I'm glad I didn't. It was a very early morning. It was a very early morning. You have never lived till you got up at like 3 a.m. in Los Angeles and drove down to the Fox studios to be there at 4:45. Eerily beautiful. Los Angeles at that time of morning, nobody's on the road. You get where you're going. It's quiet. There's a couple of birds chirping. And you're like, yeah, I can see this. I can see this. And then, dude, by like 5:50, 6 a.m., it's straight back to ugly. The sun comes up. It's like having a bad one-night stand. It's like he got drunk and hooked up with some chick. And under the cover of darkness, it was awesome. And then as soon as the lights come on, you're like, oh, yeah, this is L.A. Ooh, I got to get out of here. Okay, we're going to shift gears. I want you guys to check out this conversation with my buddy, Pete Corielli. He's a funny dude. Make sure you check out his podcast and his show. Here's my interview, me talking with my buddy, Pete Corielli. All righty. Hey, everybody. We got my buddy, Pete Corielli, on the Skype line joining us. Where are you at, Pete? Are you on the road or are you home?
I am home, bro. I'm in my own little version of my studio where I do the Pete and Sebastian podcast. And hanging with you, waiting to find out about our show. We're going to be writing anymore or not, but good hanging.
Yeah. Now, everyone, Pete and I, we met many, many moons ago. He's been on the show before. And now we're both writing on Kevin Can Wait on CBS. So we're both in this like hiatus limbo. We haven't been picked up yet. I find it hard to, it would be crazy. It's the number one scripted comedy, blah, blah, blah. We got the stats to back it up. However, how's hiatus treating you? Are you hanging in there? Or are you going crazy? Your show's huge. The Pete and Sebastian show, that thing's insane.
Yeah, it's going good. We have a lot of fun with it, and I'm having fun doing that in the downtime. But, dude, you know, you come from Ohio. I don't live far from that in Fredonia, New York. And we had an inch of snow dusting this morning. What is it? It's like April 10th now? I don't even know what it is. And I miss – one of the things I miss most about writing every day with you at Kevin Can Wait is being able to vent shit like this. As I was hooking up my computer to talk to you – you know how the guy died, sadly, in Trump Tower in one of his Trump buildings?
Oh, yeah. There
was a fire yesterday. Oh, what's the headline on the internet today? Trump lobbied to have no sprinkler systems in all of his New York City buildings. So yeah. he was actively trying to have people burn. Oh, my God. Isn't that – that's a moot point, right? Don't you have to have sprinkler systems?
No. That in the 1980s, I guess, they made it like an option, because what happens, and this is just my layman's understanding, if you have a little small fire in one section of the building, the sprinklers go off everywhere, and you cause tens and tens of thousands of water damage. So as residents, because that was a residential floor of Trump Tower, you could opt out of it. You could opt out. So it wasn't Trump doing it. The residents on those floors opted out. But, you know, you always have backup systems and stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There was the thing that was killing me yesterday was the people on Twitter who were like actively rooting for the fire. There's people
Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Yeah. David Crosby's like, burn, baby, burn. You're like, dude, there's people in there. Be cool. Be cool.
Can you imagine? And the thing is, I wanted to respond to him on Twitter, but I didn't want other people to see that it was me. It's really irritating, you know? I mean, I'm not ready to stand on my soapbox, but I wanted David Crosby to know what a little pansy-ass dick he is for that shit. God, right? That irritates me.
And it's too funny because, like, that's the theme of the show. Do you know those – this is – we're way off. It's great that we're talking politics. I love it. Those Black Girls, Diamond and Silk. I'm sure you've seen them. They've got a huge Twitter following. They're big on Facebook. They're all over YouTube. And they were big Trump supporters. And, you know, and the one girl will say something sassy, and then her friend will, like, back her up, be like, uh-huh, okay, mm-hmm. Diamond and Silk, look them up.
Okay.
They were huge Trump supporters. They've been on Facebook and doing this since, like, 2014. They just got booted off of Facebook. They had millions of fans. And it's not like they're going, hey, everybody, go out and grab a gun. We're starting a civil war. Or, hey, everybody, let's do some violence. They just got booted off. Facebook said that they were like – they were unsafe and unfit for Facebook. And their only crime is being popular. It's terrifying, dude. It's terrifying.
It really is. I mean – and it's funny because I mean, you talk about this all the time. The more these celebrities come out and say stuff about Trump, don't they understand regular people do not want celebrities to tell them what to do, how to think, how to act, all right? We just want to be entertained by you. That's it. The more you tell us don't do something, we're going to do it. Stick it.
But, like, if you put yourself in the celebrity shoes and, like, you're allowed to have an opinion, and if somebody's like, hey, pal, don't entertain me. Just play make-believe. You're like, hey, I can totally see the celebrity going, hey, you're not going to silence me. Now I'm going to talk about politics even more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but like for you, like we're doing it now. You said, oh, we're talking politics. I didn't know. I thought that's what you wanted to do. That's what you always do. Isn't that the show?
It is what I do. I talk politics. I talk pop culture. I talk about it all. It was just – I think it's great. I'm always – listen, dude. I'm always like scared to ask – like entertainer friends of mine to weigh in on it. It's just such dangerous territory.
Like, that's why I like coming on with you. I can weigh in on it. This is what we do.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. But like, like when I had Leah on the show, I had Leah on the podcast, and like all we did was just talk Scientology. That's all we did. I didn't want to weigh in on Trump. I didn't, none of it, you know. I'm just not going to put a person in that position. I want to have Kevin on, but I'm just going to tell him, dude, we're just going to talk. I just want to talk about how he got started in comedy and where he is now and what he wants to do and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I was just on Fox News.
Oh, nice.
I did Fox and Friends yesterday morning. Insanely early, dude. Insanely. I was up at 3 a.m. to get down to the L.A. studios at like 4:45 to be on the air at 5 a.m. It was crazy. And then yesterday was one of those weird days. You know, you didn't get enough sleep and you've had a boatload of coffee and you feel like you're walking around in somebody else's skin. Yeah. And I get a text from Kevin. He goes, my uncle saw you on Fox and Friends. And I'm like, that's the end of my career. I'm done. It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Well, what were you?
I didn't say anything stupid. I was commenting on tweets, like all these, you know, just it is the double-edged sword. Like Joss Whedon, the director of the Avengers, big time player in the Marvel universe, like legit, like was on Twitter and he's like, did some long tweet about how Trump is dangerous and he's ruining the country. And then he goes, just die, just go somewhere and die, slowly die. I'm paraphrasing, but that was it.
Yeah.
So he got suspended from Twitter for a day or so. And then he came back and he's like, I guess you can't make jokes about that, LOL. And I'm like, dude, like anyone else would be banned from Twitter for life. You just can't do that.
It's unbelievable, man, how these people that are anti-Trump and they look at people that are for Trump with whatever. I'm a Trump guy. I'm not going to lie because I don't go to my president for my moral compass, man. I never have. I go to my president to run the country. And if you really take a non-opinionated view of that, I mean, it's a well-oiled machine getting there more and more. He's scaring the shit out of China, scaring the shit out of everybody, putting everybody on notice. I love it too. But, you know, I don't want to lose my train of thought here. But when they do these tweets like that guy is saying, you're mocking the office, man. Not, it's beyond the guy. When Obama was in, whether or not you're a fan of him, I felt people were a little more respectful because he's the president of the United States. With Trump, they just disregard the whole thing, man.
Yeah, well, because he's not the legitimate president. Russia hacked the election. He didn't win the popular vote. So that's the thing. I mean, I always try to put myself in the other person's shoes and just come at it from where they are. And if you're watching, and I watch it for the material, but MSNBC and CNN, you're terrified, man. You're terrified every second of every day. And that's how they're paying their bills. MSNBC and CNN, they're just like straight up terrifying people. The logic,
right?
It's really funny.
It's so true, man. Because
I feel bad for them.
Family members, like, I'll be honest, my mother-in-law watches that, and my mom, they sit home and they in the cold winters. I bet you, women and retired people in the Northeast are the most apt to get this disease because they stare at those channels and they freak the fuck out until they golf. Then they go golf in the summer and they don't give a shit. And then come fall, they're freaking out again.
Well, that's really the prescription. I mean, seriously, I tweeted this yesterday. I'm like, hey, if you're watching the fire at the Trump Tower and rooting for the fire, you need to step away from politics for a while. Like, you're too – like, I really think, like, people just need to step away for a little bit. Like, listen, I didn't vote for Obama. I wasn't down with his policies or any of that stuff. However, I wasn't, like, freaking out every night. I'm like, okay, this just got tougher. My taxes are going to go up. I'm going to be paying a lot more now. And okay, this is going to suck. What do we got? What's going to happen in 4 years? What can I hang my hat on in 4 years? And people now, they're just – and they got to keep it going. that's just it. Like the, you know, the Women's March, and then the anniversary of the Women's March, and now the gun rights thing. And they got to keep, they have to keep this level going. They at least have to keep it going till November, because that's when, you know, the next elections are, and they have to try to take over the Senate and Congress and blah, 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 blah. So yeah, it's fun to watch them in a weird way. As a comedian, it's kind of fun to watch them keep this level of insanity going. And I find myself doing impressions. Of MSNBC correspondents. And it's like, who? And then I'm like, as I'm working on the impression, I'm like, who's gonna find that funny? Like, nobody. There's no audience for that. There's this guy, I can't remember his last name. His name is Steve something, like Steve Schmidt. And he's like, he's on MSNBC all the time as like the disenfranchised Republican. Like he's a Trump Republican. And Donald Trump, and he just says the most bombastic, ridiculous, there's no logic to it. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin are best buddies. They were in the Boy Scouts together. They went on a canoe trip.
Yeah, well, you know what? This should be an alternative show to Saturday Night Live, where guys are doing that stuff, man. You know,
You can't. Listen.
It's so ridiculous, Michael. Even the Stormy Daniels. I saw it today. Get ready for a new bombshell from Stormy Daniels. First of all, no one's denying that Trump banged her. Her name is Stormy. All right? We get it. But here's the deal. Unless he got a blowjob from her last Wednesday in the Oval Office, it's not as bad as what we've already seen. So what are we doing?
Even then, I kind of be okay with it.
I would, because at least she's not on the payroll like the other one was. So, you know, at least she didn't work there. So it's just like, does anyone care about that stuff anymore? That your president cheats? Whatever. It was before he was even president.
Yeah. And like, we knew that was the dude going in. It wasn't bait and switch. It wasn't like, you know, Trump was running around running for president, you know, dressed as a priest and talking about how he's the most holy person. And then it's not a shocker. You know, but even with Bill Clinton, like, I wasn't that shocked when Clinton do it, because that, like, you look at Bill and Hillary and you're like, oh, Bill was cheating. Yeah, that makes sense.
But he's white trash. He does it. I mean, and I was a fan of Bill as a president. I really was. But I mean, it's to do it in the Oval Office. I mean, even a construction worker would have the decency to leave the premises for the blowjob.
That's so too funny, man, because that's the thing that bugged me about it. And that was the joke I used to do. I'm so glad you brought that up, because it was like at some point, like, it was on the desk. It was like on the desk.
And every president moving forward knows that there was
exactly.
It was on the desk.
Right? Like George W. Bush came in there like, we're gonna need a lot of pledge. I'm gonna need you to wipe this down.
Yeah, there ain't no pledge that wipes away memories.
Exactly.
And, you know, honestly, with the Stormy Daniels again, Mike, can anything be any more intrusive and offensive, honestly, than the way Marilyn Monroe sung Happy Birthday in the Garden to Kennedy when everyone knew they were banging? I mean, that was more offensive to me than Trump banging some stripper in 2011.
Yeah, oh man, Marilyn Monroe. It's crazy that you should bring her up. What a tragic figure. Who's the playwright she was married to?
Oh right, oh
the gosh. Guy who wrote Death of a Salesman, Arthur Miller.
Yeah,
I just watched a documentary on Arthur Miller, and his daughter shot all this footage, like, and interviewed him and all this stuff, and so she finally put it together in a documentary. And he was talking about Marilyn Monroe and when he first started dating her and when they were going out and hanging out. And then she did that movie, I think it was called The Misfits with Clark Gable, mm-hmm. like shortly before they broke up. And man, that's just a tragic, what a sad character. And when she's out there singing Happy Birthday to Kennedy, you have to know that there's a ton of pills in her system and booze in her system, and she knows what she's doing, and she's really sexing it up. And that was an act. That was a persona that she put on. And I don't know. It was super tragic. But yeah,
I agree with you 100%. And Candle in the Wind, and I know she like. There was a lot of people pulling out a string. But my beef is with the president of the United States, Kennedy, not going, let's not have her do the sing thing. That's probably inappropriate, considering everyone like knows what I'm doing.
Surprise party ever. It's like the worst surprise party ever. Didn't know she was going to be there. I got a treat for you, John. Check this out. Kennedy's just sitting there going, oh, shit. His wife's sitting next to him.
Unbelievable, dude. Come on now. He stopped the Cuban Missile Crisis, but he didn't know that she was about to sing Happy Birthday. Oh, shit.
That's probably why he killed her. That is not cool. And Jackie Onassis came up with the whole Camelot thing.
No. Was it Congress you made?
Yeah. Like everybody looks back at the Kennedy administration. They're like, oh, Camelot. And that was Jackie Kennedy. Well, before she was Onassis, but she came up with that shortly after he was assassinated because Camelot was on Broadway.
Oh,
and like it was like Camelot, and it just kind of stuck. That's what I think is interesting now. They just did that movie Chappaquiddick, which is in theaters, and everybody's talking about old Teddy Kennedy again. So like those guys are back in the news. But man, those days are over. He legit left that girl to die. I thought she drowned. They say she suffocated.
Oh, like, yeah. You know, it was funny. I remember being a kid, and like once in a while, adult comics, we always liked them. That's why we grew up to beat comics. They would do these Kennedy jokes about water and cars and shit, and I never really understood them. Kennedy loved his booze, but he hates swimming, and you're sitting there, the whole audience is laughing, and I'm like, Dad, what the fuck does that mean? Yeah, that was incredible, man. That was like right out of that's like a bad movie, you know? Like you don't believe it's really true. Someone would do that.
Yeah, but I guess it is, and it's they've got a lot of there's now just it's wild, the media. You don't survive that today. You don't. You're done.
Oh God, yeah.
But at that survive. Point in time, the Kennedy machine and the media and everybody kind of covering up for him, and he had a great career. And then that's the other weird thing, and this actually philosophically brings me to another issue. Like, so he makes this. Let's just be very generous and say. He made a horrible, horrible mistake. He still went on to have a long career in the Senate, and a lot of people would argue do a lot of very good things for the country. So does the good outweigh the bad? Where's that balance? Because right now, I was on Brian Kilmeade's radio show, and they're ripping down some more statues. There's like I forget which presidential statue they're talking about ripping down, like Warren Harding. They like want to get rid of a Harding statue because he supported the blah, blah, blah act of 1840 blah. You know, it's like, really? Really? Because he did that one thing, you take away his statue? That's like, hey, Teddy Kennedy killed a chick. And we're still talking.
I think we're at the point where we got to look into the statue industry as a whole. This could be an inside job. You know, the way they say in Russia hacked our elections, we got all the statue makers going, we're going broke, man. We got to start outrages over all the existing statues.
It's just a way for them to, like, you're going to need something to replace that.
Oh,
if you take down Ulysses S. Grant, you got to put something else up there.
Do you think we will live to see in our lifetime the first of what will be many, many, many built Oprah statues? Will we be alive to see the first?
I don't think there will ever be an Oprah statue. You know what? I'm probably wrong right now. I bet there is an Oprah statue somewhere in Chicago. But yeah, we'll be alive for it. There'll be more Oprah statues.
But I don't mean like that metal thing showing you know, what's the face from Minneapolis? Valerie, what was that hit show? You ever see that sitcom? She was a single lady in Minneapolis. It was
Valerie? Mary Tyler Moore?
Mary Tyler Moore. There's a statue of her, an iron-like statue. They also got one in front of the bus depot in New York of Ralph Cramden from The Honeymooners. But I'm talking a marble statue of Oprah as profound in a park the way, like, Washington or Lincoln is, man. That day is coming. I'm telling you, we got to replace the existing statues with something.
So you're saying they'll rip down like a Robert E. Lee and put up a marble Oprah. That'd be hilarious.
They are, bro. They're ripping down a Harding statue. What do you think they're going to replace it?
It's coming. You get the knockoff statue. It's like they can't afford an Oprah, so they put up a Wendy Williams.
Yeah.
We wanted a marble Oprah, but we can only afford an iron Wendy Williams.
There's a in Peoria, Illinois. I played there once opening for Brian Regan about a year and a half ago. I might have already been doing the show with you, Kevin Can Wait. But anyway, I just was roaming the streets, and someone had told me about it on some distant edge of the city in the corner. There's a life-size statue of Richard Pryor. That's nice. Wouldn't it be nice to have one in Columbus, Ohio, just the loftiest cup of coffee and a cigarette just forever planted on a street corner?
I would kind of dig it.
Yeah.
I would dig it. Wow, I didn't know there was a statue of Pryor anywhere. That dude would be – I don't know. It's weird. It was recently the anniversary of Don Rickles' passing, and I'm really this is crazy, and maybe this is just me getting older. I really miss Don Rickles. I really miss Joan Rivers, and I really miss Richard Pryor. I just would love to hear their takes on all of this stuff, on all of this political stuff, and censorship, and free speech, and oh my gosh. Lenny Bruce. Give me Lenny Bruce in his prime. I'd love for him to chime in on this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people get old, people pass away, and people like you, me, we all come in and take their place. I'm watching a movie the other day, and I think, like, Amy Schumer is going to start to be the next Joan Rivers, you know? Like, the problem is they're all just so the same, not women or anything, just celebrities and comedians today. They just all are on the – they all got the same view, man. And if you have another view, it's very dangerous. So it gets bland.
That's the thing, man. It is bland. And because not only do they have the same view, and let me know your thoughts on this just as a comedian, it seems like they have the same rhythms.
Yeah.
You could almost take out, like, you see these dudes that have Netflix specials, and it's all you can almost close your eyes, and if you could dial down the exact words and just reduce it to, like, rhythmically, it's the same rhythms. And it's like listening to the same record over and over. There's no
you know, it's interesting with that, Mike. It's also like with that cadence. When I was growing up and I'd watch comics, I never felt like they were particularly smarter than me. They never acted like that. They just made me laugh. But today's comedians, the ones coming up today, they all give off this sense of, I'm up here because I'm smarter than you and I'm more informed than you. So just sit back and laugh at what I have to say in this nice, smart cadence that I do.
Yes, that was exactly it, dude. That was exactly it.
It's really, it's
everyone, interesting. Everyone relax. I read The New Yorker and here's a reference.
On at the Comedy Cellar after it was right. It was like recently where, you know, they're still bashing Trump. And all I did was go up there and all I said was, things seem to be running okay from where I'm standing, but whatever. All right. And then I go into my stuff and you could have dropped a pin and heard it hit, man. Is he like, and I'm like, I don't get political, but it just gets annoying hearing the same point of view with that shit.
Dude, that's what got me started on this whole thing. Two things, oddly enough, Star Wars and George W. Bush. I was going down to the Melrose Improv quite a bit, and like Star Wars, The Phantom Menace had just come out, and comedian after comedian after comedian was talking about how it was horrible. So I'm like, I felt bad for the audience, right? I'm like, I can't. First of all, if I'm watching the comedian in front of me talking about how Star Wars is garbage, Like, I'm not going to do my Star Wars is garbage jokes, right?
Yeah, so yeah,
just,
no, of course.
So I just went up there and I'm like, Star Wars The Phantom Menace is the best fucking movie I've ever seen. If this shit doesn't get an Oscar, and just like totally. So I'm back down there. I'm back down there a couple weeks later, and everybody's doing the same thing about now. It's like George Bush. Oh, George Bush is the worst. He's a stupid cowboy. He's just a retarded guy from Texas. Da, da, da. And I just go up there, and I'm like, he is the best president we've ever had. I want him on Mount Rushmore. Here's what I love about George. And just and it crushed, just absolutely crushed. And now it's happening in a weird way. On a bigger scale, it's this, it's, dude, it's the perfect metaphor. It's the perfect metaphor. You got Will and Grace. Oh, they're coming back, making fun of Donald Trump. Ha 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 ha. Every sitcom making fun of Donald Trump. Ha 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 ha. And it's just boring, boring, boring. And then you got our buddy Bruce Helford, who's over on Roseanne, and she's like, yeah, I voted for Trump. He was talking about jobs and shaking, and it just huge ratings.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. Sitcoms, it's just glorified stand-up. That's all it is. And so everyone's going one direction, so she goes the opposite direction and looks like a genius. But rumor has it they're going to take the politics out of that show.
Well, here's the thing, right? The first episode got like 18 million or something, right?
And then that number went up when they got the plus threes on the DVRs and the plus sevens. It went up to like 25.
But the thing is, everyone's like, oh... Again, I have to say, though, everyone's like, well, here we go. She's talking about being for Trump, and maybe that was the difference. But everybody who tuned in didn't know what she was going to say until she said it. So, right. Like, so wouldn't she have gotten an $18 million if she sang Mary Had a Little Lamb for fucking half?
No. Listen, if she would have come out there and just been like, I'm a domestic goddess. Dan, why aren't you mopping the floor? Men can do that work, too. Click, boring, boo. But she's out there doing talk show after talk show going, yeah, I voted for Trump. And like when Jimmy Kimmel's like, how can you support Trump? And then she's flipping him the bird. Now you're like, whoa, what am I about to see? But you're right. No one knew what she was going to say, but they knew and they wrapped themselves up in it that her character was going to be a Trump supporter and there was going to be political differences. And you know, her sister, Jackie, voted for someone else. So everyone just wanted to see how they were going to handle it. And America's like, finally, that show didn't. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago on the podcast here. It didn't do well in New York. It didn't crack the top 20 in New York. Didn't crack the top 20 in L.A. But the rest of the country just ate it up like candy.
There's people in between New York and L.A.?
Yes. There's like five of them.
Oh, all right. I didn't realize that. I just thought it was all dirt and mountains.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. And I tell you what, they watch TV and they want somebody who's going to, you know, represent their differing viewpoint. I think they've been demonized till they can't take it anymore.
No. I know, man. Those are all the places we play, Middle America, all over the world. And it's just so funny how you come back to the East and West Coast and people that don't leave those coasts like have no idea the heartbeat of what's going on.
That's what I was saying on Fox and Friends the other morning. Like, I want to get in like De Niro was saying more things that were anti-Trump and Jay-Z was saying a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, I want to go around and like I want to dart these celebrities like I'm on a wild animal safari, right? Like Jay-Z's just walking around Manhattan and then thunk, he gets hit with a dart. And then I want to drive him to Iowa and have him like just wake up and like meet people and look around and see these people. They're happy because jobs are coming back and they've got factories and they can work and they're saving a little bit of money. They're delighted. They're not racist. They're not.
Yeah.
They just want to be able to provide for their families, for Christ's sake.
Jay-Z, don't tell me you've been to Iowa because you were on stage at the Iowa Arena, some shit in front of 100,000 people.
Yeah.
We're talking about walking down the street. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm talking about hitting the McDonald's in Dubuque.
Yeah. Jobs so for everybody. We didn't even start drilling yet. And we didn't even start drilling yet.
I think it's going swimmingly well. I think it's going swimmingly well. The thing in Syria has me worried. But I listen. And then I'm on record as saying this. I believe so much more in the American people than I do the elected officials. I really do. And the older I get and the more I learn, the less faith I have in these people who are, quote, supposed to lead us. And I don't think they're supposed to lead us. I think they're supposed to bend to our will. We sent them because we don't have the time. Like a bunch, everyone.
Yeah, this is what we want you to go tell them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it, dude.
And if
yeah.
somebody's like, hey, if you vote for me, I'll go up there and do X, Y, and Z. And we're like, all right, that's cool. You do that, buddy. You go up there and do that. I'm gonna run my business over here because I just don't have the time to do it myself.
Yeah. How often does it happen? Dude, I truly feel like Trump, like, I noticeably see things he's trying to do that he said he was going to try to do. Like, you actually see it. It's like, well, whether it's done or not, he's trying, it seems.
All you have to do is get out of the way. I don't think Trump is any kind of genius. People are like, oh, he's playing three-dimensional chess and everyone else is playing checkers. No, he's just a smart enough businessman to go, I'm going to get out of the way. A person, some kid living in Tallahassee, Florida, will come up with some business or he'll invent something. It's just a numbers game. Our economy, when you have entrepreneurship and capitalism and people all over this country scrapping and scraping and trying to get ahead, they're going to come up with some cool stuff. All the government has to do is get out of the way. It will take care of itself. Like if you have a big business and you got toxic chemicals, I'm sorry. You're not allowed to dump those in a river. You can't dump them in a lake. We need an EPA because if somebody tries that crap, they'll get in trouble. But government should literally get out of the way. Look at Elon Musk. That dude's going to Mars. And I guarantee he's going to do it.
Yeah. Isn't it great to say he's on our side, man? Come on.
Seriously. So anyway, I'm fired up. I love it. I think things are going swimmingly well, and I'm getting tired. I'm getting so tired, and this is where I was, like when Kevin sent me that text message, hey, my uncle saw you on Fox and Friends, because I was ready to go off. I was ready to like just jump ship and just be like, I've had it. I'm tired of apologizing. I'm tired of – because like you see these people whenever like – they look at you, oh, you voted for Trump, and they look at you like if you're from Mars. So then there's like this polite society thing where you have to like, well, you know, I voted for him because Hillary was like – you're already apologizing. Yeah. You have to – there's a built-in apology. It's like when you see some dude that you kind of don't like at the office, but you ask him, hey, how was your day? And he's like, it's all right. And then you have a like a social agreement that that's the end of the conversation.
Yeah. Right?
Because you both know you don't really like each other and it's just like a polite thing. There's like this polite thing in America now where if you voted for Trump, you're expected to automatically apologize.
Yes,
and I'm done with that. I'm done with that.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. Well, hopefully we'll be able to have these kind of talks more often, bro, next year. Fingers crossed for a May 10th good announcement.
I hear you in the dismount. That's great. I'm glad you came by. Where can people find the Pete and Sebastian show? That's what I want to know.
You can go to PeteCorielli.com, and every show is just posted about an hour after it airs on SiriusXM. So, yeah, great, and boom, there you go.
So if I've got SiriusXM, I can hear it there on channel what, 5 million 4?
Channel 99, Raw Dog. It comes out every Friday East Coast time at 5 p.m., And then you can get it on demand on SiriusXM. But like I said, 1 hour after it's on SiriusXM, it goes right over to my website, Sebastian Maniscalco's website, and you can get it for free on either one of ours.
You know what I think you guys did? You picked a good choice going with your first names.
Yeah, very simple. Pete and Sebastian.
Pete and Sebastian, much easier to find than Corielli and Maniscalco.
And I said to Sebastian when we were doing it, because, you know, it was right before he, like, became really popular. And I go, listen, dude, to say to Sebastian and Pete show, I feel like you get halfway through Sebastian, you're not going to say Pete. The other way around, you say Pete's a throwaway, and then you got all the time in the world to say, and Sebastian. Because you don't like Seth. You don't like Seth.
All right, well, hey, go clear off the snow. I think you guys are going to skip spring this year. I think it's going to go straight to summer. But have a good one. Hey, are you hitting the road anytime soon? When's your next stand-up?
Next one is May 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'll be at Buffalo Helium Comedy Club. But April 12th, 13th, and 14th, I'll be on the road with Brian Regan. And you can go to PeteCorielli.com and see those dates, man.
Have a good one, Pete. Well, hopefully we'll find out soon if we've got a gig.
Well, dude, let's hope. All right, bro. Good hanging. Right.
Have a good one. That was fantastic. Hanging out with Pete is hilarious. That dude, he kills me. It's the cadence. It's the way he says stuff. He's a very, very funny stand-up. He told you where he was performing. Hopefully you get a chance to catch him. And hopefully you get a chance I feel like Bill Maher now. I feel like Bill Maher at the end of his HBO show. He always talks about where he's doing stand-up. I'm going to be in Vegas. I'll be performing a week in Vegas. Boy, I wish I had those dates in front of me. It's in May. If you go, I'll be at the MGM, Brad Garrett's Comedy Club. I'm sure he has a website. The MGM will have these events. But I'll be there for a solid week. It's always a blast. And hopefully it'll be hot. The MGM, here's what I like about the MGM. They have like a lazy river pool. Now, granted, there's always a boatload of people out there. There's always a boatload of people. So it's always packed and, you know, the drunks get boring after a while. But I just like the idea of getting an inner tube and just floating around in this constant loop. I'm not a big Vegas guy. I used to be more into Vegas, but maybe I'm getting older or something. I'll play the blackjack. I'll play the video poker. I'm not into the Texas Hold'em. I got no patience. I have no patience. That's one of my big shortcomings. Like, I have buddies who are into poker and they're like, oh, you know, they were there for like, I was there for 12 hours and I won $11 and I was slow playing this guy. I don't have the patience. Like, I don't have the, I barely have the patience for blackjack when they've got like six decks. Cause it's like, come on, let's go. Which is why I stay away from craps. Stay away from craps. I'll tell you guys that. Right now, craps is the crack cocaine of gambling. There's a lot of money. It goes really fast, and you lose it really fast, or you win it really fast. But if just know, when you're playing craps, you are on the roller coaster ride. So I'll be in Vegas. I'll be doing shows at night. I don't know who the other performers are. Every once in a while, Brad Garrett will show up. I love that when that happens because I always make him go up and do stage time. I feel like a member of the Rat Pack. It's like one of my favorite things ever. To be on stage, show in Vegas, and you're like, hey, you guys, we have a celebrity in the audience. We have a special guest. That is the coolest to me. That is the cool. And somebody should do that show without calling it like the Rat Pack show or the new Rat Pack or anything. It's a cool show where celebrities come out and maybe the dude comes out and does a song. I did a song the last time I was in Vegas, and I think I'm going to do it again. I closed my set with a song. It was so much fun. I'm just now remembering that. I got to do it again. I did a song on the ukulele, and I think I might write something for Vegas. I'm very excited. I totally forgot. I'm not doing as much stand up. I go out and I pop in. I do guest sets and stuff. I'm at Governor's a lot in Long Island. So much fun. We play audio from that on this show. When I'm in Long Island, I'm there practically every Sunday. I got to get back out to the Ice House in Pasadena. I got to get back out to Comedy and Magic live. Here's the other thing I'm thinking about doing, you guys. And let me know what you think about this. I want to start doing the podcast from Comedy and Magic. I think that would be so much fun. What do you think about that as an idea? We got the podcast. We have I invite people down. I'm not going to charge you. Well, not yet. But we'll have people in the audience, we'll have guests, and just do the podcast. I think that would be great. I think it would be a very, very, very cool vibe. Okay. Other thing. So I'm looking forward to going to Vegas and the Lazy River. I'm heading back to New York for a little bit. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to doing more stand-up. I'm looking forward to the new Han Solo trailer. This has to be good. I'm hanging my hat. I'm counting on you, Ronnie Howard. I'm counting on you to save this thing. You know my feelings on The Last Jedi. That was just the worst. Oh, my gosh. And this is the weird. Here's some weird Hollywood. So I'm having coffee with a friend of mine the other day. And I'm telling her that, you know, the new website is up, theloftusparty.com. And she would be a terrific blogger. She's super smart. super funny. I worked with her on anger management, and I'm hoping to convince her to start writing articles for the Loftus Party Doc, whatever she wants. It would just be fun. She's just a funny person. And I'm telling her what else I'm doing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got the YouTube channel, you know, the Loftus Party on YouTube, and that's growing rapidly. It's growing rapidly, which has me totally excited. You guys don't even know. Me and my crew of people, my friends, my buddy, we have been doing this for a couple of years now. And there was, you know, the first iteration of the LoftusParty.com. And then there was this. And then we added the podcast. And now it's like everything's coming together. And it's very exciting. Like, I'll find myself smiling. And I know why. Because it's happening. It's all coming together. Everything's getting better. So I'm telling her about the YouTube channel. And now we're adding subscribers. And I'm like, man, I did these little videos talking about how much I hated The Last Jedi. And those are really, like, you know, big for in terms of the videos that I put out there. And she's like, ooh, The Last Jedi. I'm like, yeah, man, that dude Rian Johnson just screwed the pooch. He just messed up. And I see this look come over her face. And she's like, oh, that's right, Rian did that. And I'm like, Rian? And she knows the guy. She knows him. So I'm like, you can tell him that I said. So it's really weird. It's one thing to criticize someone when you're like super far away. But now I'm like, wow, I'm saying this crap. And there's a good chance that Rian Johnson can hear me. And inside, I'm like, good, good. I want him to know. I want him to know you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to. What? I'll go off. I'll go off again. I can't. It'll be boring. It'll be bad radio. So anyway, I'm counting on Solo. It actually looks good. Here's what when I was a kid, I never really recognized Mark Hamill from anything else. I never really recognized Alec Guinness from anything else because I was a kid watching that. So it seemed like, oh, those were really the people. So I'm not really a fan of some of the casting they've done in Solo. Like, they've got the girl from Game of Thrones. They got Woody Harrelson. I'm kind of bummed out. And I hear Woody Harrelson is a great guy. I love the dude's work. I think he's awesome. But I'm kind of bummed out to see Woody Harrelson in Han Solo. It kind of, in a weird way, it takes me out of the movie. It's like Han Solo's flying around and he's trying to do this thing and, oh, there's Chewbacca and, like, wow, there's that dude from Cheers. But I think that just makes me old because I think there's kids right now. They don't know Woody Harrelson from Cheers. They'll actually know him as the dude from Solo. Here's the inside scoop. Here's what I've heard about Solo from my Hollywood peeps. I guess the guys who were directing that movie, it became – and it's funny, you know, if you've been around, you know, sets and movies and TV shows, you can tell. You get a vibe when the director is in over their head. Like, it takes too long to set up a shot. You can see him hemming and hawing, and they're like – I guess there was a lot of that going on with Solo. And then the actors are like, uh-oh. And you just get a vibe. You're like, uh-oh, we don't – think we don't have confidence in this person. So I guess they shot all this footage. Those guys got fired. Then Ron Howard comes in, and man, say what you will about Ron Howard, that kid grew up in front of the camera. He's a good director. He's got a huge body of work. Fantastic actor. He came in, and this is like inside baseball kind of stuff, and all the wide shots, all the stuff where the camera's far away and you see a group of people talking, he's like, well, keep those. Those are all still good. So boom. And then he just went back and he got close-ups and shots like that. But, like, reshot the movie, like, all of it. I thought he was just doing select scenes and maybe doing some additional footage. He reshot everything in, like, record time. And the kid who plays Han Solo, that kid got, like, an acting coach. They changed his performance. So Disney knows that they knew they have a problem. They probably looked – I have to think they looked at test screenings for Last Jedi and were like, uh-oh. I don't know if the timeline for that works out. Maybe I'm just too much of a fanboy for all this stuff. But I'm glad they hired Ron Howard. Hopefully they got things going right. That would be wonderful. The franchise needs it. You can't have – you look at the sales of The Last Jedi, and this is what a lot of people on YouTube are saying. It's incredibly successful. Last Jedi, it's incredibly successful. Yes, it made a lot of money. You won't get me on that. I'll be the first guy to agree. However, you look at what it did in China. That's what I keep coming to. And the sales of the Blu-ray, they're not – yes, they're selling a lot of them. But they thought they were going to sell a lot more, and they know they thought they were going to sell a lot more. It's always amazing to me when network executives and people who run studios, they can do these mathematical projections, and they're so right. They're always right. And I'm telling you right now, fans, The Last Jedi underperformed. So hopefully they can fix it. So I'm excited about Solo. I'm still playing Nier Automata. I think I always say that wrong. That's a great video game. I did a video about that. If you haven't played Nier Automata, great video game. So much fun. I'm trying to get into Fortnite. Fortnite is the game that's like – they say it's bigger than Minecraft now, and it's just sad. I just don't have the reflexes. They're gone. It's terrible. I'm like – I saw this video. I saw an interview with this kid the other day. He was a professional gamer. Retired at 24. He played Call of Duty professionally. So you guys, that's this week's show. Thanks to Pete for coming by. Just a blast. And stay tuned. Tell your friends about it. I'm terrified about getting kicked off of Facebook. I'm terrified about getting kicked off of YouTube. I'm terrified of getting kicked off of Twitter. So that the more you can share and talk and comment and keep things going, the better I feel. I sleep easier. That's this week's show. I can't say it'll happen next week, but hopefully in the next few podcasts, I'll make an announcement about where we're doing the podcast. I want a live audience. I want that energy. I need that energy. And creatively, it's super satisfying. I love you guys, and you're fun to hang out with. And you're good people. So why not do like what Joe Rogan does or a lot of other people? Let's just turn it into a live event. Let's just turn it into a show. You guys can have cocktails. You can have some food. I'll talk some trash. We'll talk about science fiction and politics and video games and all points in between. And it'll be awesome. So go to theloftiestparty.com. It's the brand new website. I've been teasing it for the past couple weeks. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. It's happening, you guys. I will see you next time.